We're going to be reading from Galatians chapter 2, starting our reading at verse 17. Galatians 2, verse 17, that's found on page 1155. Galatians chapter 2 at verse 17. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. And it's particularly verses 19 and 20, which will be our text. For the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that's as far as reading. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. And I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you been crucified? That might be quite a shocking way to begin our sermon. Have you been crucified? But it's a serious question. As we're going to see today, those who are united to Christ are united to Christ in all things, united to him in death and united to him in life. Being joined or united to Christ by faith means that what Christ experienced has now been experienced by us. We follow in his footsteps, if you will. We share in both his humiliation and his exaltation. We take up our cross and we follow him. We belong to him. Now, normally when we say we belong to Jesus Christ, as the catechism says, we belong to him in life and in death. But today we are going to see a striking reversal. Normally we say we belong to Jesus Christ in life and in death. For us, death is at the end of our life. But today we are going to see that when we are united to Christ, we are united to him in death and then in life. We're united to him in crucifixion, in death, and then in resurrection. We're going to build upon what we learned last week, remembering that we are joined to Christ by faith, meaning we are justified. Justified. We must not be content with just understanding this academic understanding of what it means to be justified, but we have to see that true justifying faith is a unifying faith, wherein we share and partake of Christ, and we even share in his life. So today we further consider our union with Christ by faith. John Owen put it this way: the union with Christ is the principal measure of all spiritual enjoyment and expectation. It is our union with Christ that is the principal and measure of all spiritual enjoyment and expectation. So this evening we consider this theme. Those who are united to Christ by faith share in his death and in his life. In our first point then, we see how we are united to Christ, meaning that we are united to him in his death. Paul puts it this way in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Crucified with Christ. Now, the fact that Paul says he has been crucified with Christ, it's not a reference to an actual physical taking away of his life on the cross. As we're going to see in verse 20, he still speaks of the life that he lives in the flesh. It is true that Paul has been beaten, whipped, stoned, and shipwrecked, but he's never been crucified. So in what way is Paul saying that those who are joined to Christ by faith are joined to him in his crucifixion? What does it mean that we are crucified with Christ? Now, we understand what it means that Christ was crucified for us. That because of my sins and my transgression, we talked about that with our justification, right? My sin, my guilt, my transgression, my burden taken from me, put on Christ and satisfied by Christ as he died for me. I'm the one that should have died, but Christ is our mediator, our advocate, one who takes our place, our substitute. We talk about substitutionary atonement. But what does it mean that I am crucified? Crucified with Christ. Now, the Bible does say, this is Colossians 3, verse 5, that we are to consider the members of our body as being dead. Because when we're joined to Christ, Christ puts to death the sins that are within us. They are belonging to him and therefore no longer mine. I shouldn't consider that a part of my life. But Paul is speaking of something deeper and more significant here. The point Paul makes in verse 20 is a past event has happened. I have been crucified. An event has taken place. That Christ's death on the cross was an event that I partake in. When Christ died, I died. Well, what is dying? How do we die? By faith, when we are joined to Christ, there is an aspect of us that dies with Christ. The old carnal flesh being put to death has no authority and no power. Yes, as we're going to see in our third point, this is going to lead to a new way of living. We put to death the sins that remain, but Paul grounds this, he roots this in the fact that when we are joined to Christ, we are joined to him in crucifixion. I have been crucified. I no longer live. When Jesus died on the cross, and I'm joined to Jesus by faith, my old self, my old man, my old nature is put to death, hung on the cross, buried in the grave. You remember here that in the context, Paul has been speaking about the law and the law's proper use. If you look back at verse 19, Paul puts it like this. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. The law, and its use here, is exposing my sin and misery. If we look at this when it comes to our crucifixion, we could say it is the law that is exposing what needs to die. When we read the law and we read how we have fallen short and we continue to do that which we ought not to do, there is an aspect where the law is putting before us, this is the part that needs to die. This is the part that is dead. Not only does the law reveal what I need to stop doing, it reveals what we have already seen is dead. To state this point another way, the only reason we can stop doing the sin is because the sin has already been crucified. The only way we can grow in holiness and obedience is if sin's power, reign, and dominion has been broken. There is no possibility for us to obey unless we first die. Unless the old man is put to death. We could put it this way. The law is the cross, the nails by which death is secured. Jesus died because of the law. Yes, Jesus died because he had to fulfill the requirements of the law. He became a curse, and dying on the cross is the only way to satisfy the justice and wrath of God. But Paul is using the crucifixion in a different way today. He's saying that when Christ crucified, we died in and with him. Your former self comes to a decisive and complete end. You look at yourself and you need to say, I died with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, so I no longer live. My life is not my own. I'm not living for my own pursuits and pleasures or my own desires. I'm not a slave to what I think is right. My former desires and pursuits are now off the table. I no longer live like I used to live because that part of me is dead. This is an objective truth. Those who are joined to Christ in faith have been crucified. But praise God, that's not the end of the story. Not only are we crucified with Christ so that the old man is dead and buried, being joined to Christ also means that we are raised with Christ. 2 Timothy 2 puts it this way, if we died with him, we will live with him. So Paul continues in verse 20 by putting it this way. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The new life that we now have is not my life. I'm not my own. My life is not my own. Any strength, any holiness, any obedience, any spiritual growth, these cannot be attributed to me and my own ability, not even my own desire. It is because I live in Christ, or Christ lives in me. By faith, I am a born again Christian, raised to new life by the Spirit. We are a new people, righteous and holy in the sight of the Father. I am now alive because the Prince of Life lives within me. Any life that I have is foreign to myself. His life within me and not my own. Although we don't tend to talk this way, justification is really about death and life. Not only do we talk about this double imputation, we talked about it last week, but when we see ourselves and the consequences of justification, my old man dies, and I'm a new person, completely changed. That which I was before I was justified does not describe me after I was justified. I am a completely different person. The old man dead, the new man alive. We can kind of catch an image of this in baptism. The old self dies in the water, and the one that comes out of the water is a new man, washed, renewed. John Owen puts it like this, union with Christ is the ground of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to all believers. Union with Christ is the ground of the imputation of righteousness to all believers. In other words, our justification is directly linked to our union with Christ by faith. We died, crucified, dead and buried, and now alive in Christ. Paul uses the same imagery when he talks about death. What happens when we die is a seed is placed in the ground. That seed has to die in order for it to put forth a new shoot and stem and new life. That describes us spiritually. We have to die before we can live. But there's one more aspect to consider. I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live is because Christ is in me. That's the blessing of regeneration, the consequence of being justified by faith. But this being united to Christ doesn't just describe something that happens in the past. It is something that also describes something that happens to us in the future, a present reality as well. Being justified by faith in Christ leads to a new life of obedience and a growth in holiness. The Puritans like to call this the applicatory union with Christ. In other words, the union of Christ applied to us today. Look again at what Paul says in verse 20. We've looked at this so far, right? Crucified with Christ, I no longer live. Justification, something dies. But the life Christ who lives now in me, justification, there is new life. But then he continues. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So not only is Paul speaking of something which is past, there is something which is present, a reality that is applied to us today. I now live a new life by faith. To illustrate this point, we can remember that the Bible often compares the work of salvation to marriage. What takes place in marriage, we could say, is a way of illustrating justification and its application. When we're talking about marriage, justification is like the wedding day. It is a change of status. Once you are married, the two become one, right? What you were before that wedding day is done. It's no longer applied. Now you are something new. Now you are something different. A union has taken place. But that wedding day is not the end of the story. That wedding day is the beginning, but it leads to a new life of union where there is living together. Sanctification, then, is describing the new life that the married couple now spends together. Now, in order to keep these things clear in our mind, there is a direct connection leading from one to the other. Justification leads to a life of sanctification. Being joined to Christ when we're in the realm of justification speaks of death and resurrection. But in the realm of sanctification, we are putting to death the sins that remain and coming alive in the image of Christ. So these points still apply to us. I could put it this way. New life is not just a past in principle. It is a present reality that is made evident and manifest in our daily life. This new life we live. Paul says we live in the flesh. Paul is not thinking that new life is something which happens only after we die or after Jesus Christ comes back. It is as if eternity is breaking into the present. Who we are is manifested in how we live and how we act today in our life. A walk of holiness and obedience. Having been justified by faith, joined to Him, now leads to a life of faith which makes itself evident in holy living. We read this connection earlier from Romans chapter 6. I'm going to reference Romans chapter 6. We read that a few minutes ago. Paul puts it like this. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Something that changed, something has changed. A past reality is true. You are dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. But in the very next verse, Paul goes on by saying, let not sin reign in your body, but present yourself to God as one who has been brought from death to life. So the past certainty of being joined to Christ in death and resurrection leads to a present application. Live today out of the truth of yesterday. Live your present life based upon the fact of what Christ has already done. You are dead and now brought to life. How could we let sin reign over us if that sin has no longer the same power over us? We are not slaves, we are liberated. How could we fail to obey if we have been raised with Christ and Christ lives in us? Now notice this glorious truth of the union of Christ. This glorious truth. We are in Christ, crucified with Christ. Therefore, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. So by faith we are joined to Christ, and by faith Christ lives in us. Such a sweet union between God and His people. Whatever can be said of Christ is now being said of you. Whatever Christ gained is now yours. The power of new life is the work of the Spirit within, by which we are enlightened and enabled to obey. But before we close, I know we're dealing with very specific and deep teachings in Scripture today. Let it not be said that this is an academic truth that we go home and say, well, that was very interesting, but it didn't apply to me. I draw to your attention to the fact that when Paul is speaking, he is not speaking in a far out, ethereal, way out there aspect. He is concrete and he is personal. Listen again how Paul speaks in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul speaks in a personal and intimate way. I died with Christ. I live in Christ. Christ lives in me. I now live by the Spirit. Jesus loved me and gave himself up for me. The Christian life of faith is a personal walk. The union that we enjoy with Christ is not some abstract thing applied out there. It is something that is applied to us specifically, personally, and individually. In other words, you have to be able to say this. This is an article of faith that you need to declare. Have you been crucified with Christ? Have you been joined to Christ in death so that sin is no longer your master? That your identity is not under the first Adam, but now being joined to Christ, you are under the last Adam, Jesus Christ? Have you been raised with Christ? Does he live in you? Do you know his love? Do you understand the love of God that moved him so that he would give himself up for you? Justification and sanctification are not something that we just need to understand. It is something that we need to internalize. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. He loved me and gave himself up for me. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, God, for the union that we enjoy with Jesus Christ. Thomas Goodman put it this way: being in Christ and united to him is the fundamental constitution of a Christian. So when Goodman was asked, how do you define a Christian? He said, a Christian is fundamentally one who is united to Christ. This is the fountainhead of all of our blessings. Justification and sanctification rooted here in our union with Christ by faith. As our theme states, those who are united to Christ by faith share in his death and in his life. So as we continue to see the meaning and benefit of our union with Christ, let us all be united to him by faith as we share in his death, resurrection, and every benefit and blessing. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this deep, deep truth of being united to Christ in his death and resurrection. We thank you for this foundational truth that now leads to our putting to death and coming alive in the image of Christ. We thank you for the fact that Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you that by the Spirit, Christ lives in us and we live in him. We pray this in Jesus' name.